Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, we are going to preview the Beltway Battle, first one of the season this weekend, the three-game series between the Orioles and the Nationals at Nats Park. And we're going to be joined by Josh Neighbors. He is the host of Locked On Nationals here in the Locked On Podcast Network to do just that. But before that, a little bit of Orioles news and a little bit of a disclaimer. I am out of town was out of town, I guess, if you're listening to this, most of Thursday and Friday. So I'm recording this on Thursday morning. Josh and I recorded our part of the podcast on Thursday morning. So it was before the Orioles and Marlins hopefully played their game Thursday night, although I know rain in the area. So potentially you're listening to this after a rain out and there's no game recap to be missed. But when we're back with you on Monday, we'll recap the whole weekend series against the Nats and potentially the Thursday night game against the Marlins. But here's to hoping they would have scored some runs and won a game and salvaged one game in that series against Miami. And hopefully it's a 500 Orioles team heading in to Nats Park. But a little bit of Orioles news, obviously this was from Wednesday night, but the Orioles sent the slumping DJ Stewart down to the alternate site in Bowie. He was 0 for 14, with 8 strikeouts on the season and was struggling mightily at the plate. The Orioles had to get the roster down from 30 to 28 guys on Thursday, so Stewart sent it to 29. And then John Means is on the bereavement list. That gets it to 28. Whenever Means returns, obviously the O's will immediately have to send another player down. It potentially might be a hitter, but we'll see. You would hope at that point Means goes down or Means gets added. They call up Mountcastle, and a pitcher and a hitter get sent back to Bowie. But we will see. I would love to see Ryan Mountcastle, and hopefully by the next time I'm talking to you, maybe by the next time or maybe by the time you're listening to this, Ryan Mountcastle is with the Orioles, but we will see. Is this offense struggling at the moment? But we are going to preview this Orioles and Nats series. It's going to be three games, Friday at 6 o'clock, Saturday at 6 o'clock, Sunday at 12:30, all at Nats Park. As of my recording Thursday morning, no teams had named their starting pitchers. It does look like Tommy Malone will get the baseball in Game 1 for the Orioles. And then there's really question marks after that for the O's. With John Means on the bereavement list, he probably would have been the guy that went potentially on Saturday, or maybe at the very latest, he would have went Sunday in this series after pitching on Tuesday. But it doesn't look like he'll be available. It looks like Tom Eshelman, who threw 3 1/3 out of the bullpen, pitched very well on Tuesday night. He'll probably, I would think, start the Sunday game, but potentially Saturday. And then after that for the O's, I would think maybe if Eshelman goes Sunday, Saturday might be a bullpen day for the Orioles, unless they make a move down from the Bowie site and grab somebody, potentially a Cesar Valdez, to maybe do sort of an opener thing, pitch 2 or 3 innings. But other than that, could be a bullpen day for the Orioles. So we'll see what they do this weekend against the Nats, who may be without Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg, which we will get into. But we'll definitely see Patrick Corbin for the Nats this weekend. It's the Orioles, who are hopefully 6-6 by the time this game starts, and the Nats 4-5. They're slumping a little bit as well to start the season. But after the break, we will be joined by Josh Neighbors. He is the host of Locked On Nationals here on the Locked On Podcast Network to preview the Beltway Battle between the O's and the Nats. That's right after this. We got to talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes, models, it's now impossible to find that right part for your car. It feels like you just go through pointless and intimidating questioning when you head to a chain storefront asking about what your car needs, and maybe you don't exactly know, and that can make things even tougher. Well, you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. It saves you money and it's easy to use. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. I'm not the biggest car guy in the world, but at least when looking for something like windshield wipers, they're a little easier to know when you might need new ones. Just put them in for your car, Honda CR-V, and boom, there you go. You can find all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Well, for the last, I guess it's been 5 months now. If I'm getting food from a restaurant, it's pretty much been through Postmates. I can get food delivered without even leaving the house or even opening the door. Given what's going on in the world still with COVID-19, they created non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. There's also Postmates Pickup, which I've been using in order to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants. Listen up, you guys need to be supporting your local neighborhood spots right now. And I've pretty much been ordering mostly local restaurants because it's a great way to support the community. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier by picking up everything I need from Walgreens, from 7-Eleven, and they drop it off right outside my door. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100. Yeah, you heard that right. $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, Connor Newcomb here along with Josh Neighbors for a little Locked On Orioles, Locked On Nationals weekend season preview, Beltway Battle Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. First of all, Josh, how are you as we somehow made it this far in this baseball season, getting ready for our first O's Nats series of the year?
I am well. I hope you are well and staying safe too. Yes, if you asked me, Connor, last Saturday if I thought that you and I would be previewing Orioles Nationals for this weekend in you know a few days time, I would have told you I didn't think it would happen, but here we are, and we do have a baseball series. So I mean, that's encouraging, but obviously the other stuff is kind of hanging over it as well too.
Yeah, so we are full disclosure recording this on Thursday morning, so there'll be another game played by each of these teams. The Nats have one more.
The Nats are done until they play their last game. They just had a weird two-game midweek series.
The old two-gamer. Yes. But the Orioles yeah. Will hopefully, by the time you hear this, have maybe scored a couple of runs against the Marlins and potentially beaten the reinforcements on this Miami team. But it'll be O's and Nats over the weekend. And I think the first thing we got to talk about, this could be a series with no Strasburg and no Scherzer, and not because they both just happened to miss their turn in the rotation, but both of them might be on the IL for this weekend.
Yeah, so Max Scherzer this weekend, he says he wants to pitch for his next scheduled start. I would err on the side of caution, especially after it was a hamstring injury that he suffered. Whenever you listen to this, it was the Wednesday night game where he pitched. It was aggravated last week against the Blue Jays, but he was okay and he ended up pitching 112 pitches, 7 1/3 innings, and shutout baseball too. But it was much worse last night. And Kurt Suzuki kind of gave him after the first inning, said, "Hey man, your stuff's not there." And Scherzer was limping around. So he says he's hopefully good to go for his next start, but that's Max Scherzer, the competitor. And I think after what we saw with just how bad he was, I think Davey Martinez is going to err on the side of caution. Steven Strasburg, they're hoping to get him back this weekend. I know he's through, I believe, a simulated game earlier this week, which would put him in line to pitch this weekend. If that occurs, I guess we'll have to wait and see. So I don't know if Davey Martinez knows who is going to be throwing this weekend. I would assume that you would get to see Patrick Corbin, who threw on Tuesday, I would assume that you would see him later on in the weekend and probably on Sunday. And then I would also assume that you're going to see Anibal Sanchez and Austin Voth as the other two guys who I would guess are going to start. But once again, we have no idea. And I want to say something, Connor. Every single time I have guessed who is going to be starting, I have basically been wrong just because of kind of how weird the season is and how odd the scheduling has been. There's been no regularity with the Nationals rotation. I'm sure the Orioles have dealt with a bit of that too.
Yeah, you know, you think about those guys like Voth and Fetty, and you know, Joe Ross would have been one of these guys. Right. He obviously opted out of the season as well. For the Orioles, surprisingly, you know, you look at this team and you look at what they did last year, and your assumption is, okay, if they're going to win games, it's probably going to be the offense. You know, one of these, Alberto and Nunez and Santander, one of these guys will get hot and they'll win some games. It's not been the reason why. The starting pitching and the bullpen have been phenomenal, and the offense has gone flat. But we were talking about starting pitching this weekend. The Orioles, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do this weekend, because it would have lined up with Tommy Malone. It looks like he's going to go Friday. You remember the Orioles' extremely random opening day starter, Tommy Malone. he pitched really well Sunday against the Rays. 5 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts against that Tampa offense. So he'll go Friday. Then after that, an extremely large question mark over Saturday and Sunday. John Means, the Orioles' ace, would have been the scheduled starter for Saturday, but he just got put on the bereavement list. The Orioles are kind of keeping it private about the reason why, but Brandon Hyde did say that most likely he won't be back with the team this weekend. And then the Orioles are playing right now 4 games in 3 days because of the doubleheader, and with no off days, it kind of throws off your rotation a bit. So unless the rain that's supposed to be here in Baltimore tonight washes out this game tonight, Wade LeBlanc will pitch tonight, which means the Orioles on Saturday and Sunday would probably go with Tom Eshelman on Saturday or Sunday, who threw 3 innings out of the pen on Tuesday. And then it's probably a bullpen day for the other game. So I think the Orioles almost hoping this game gets rained out tonight so they can have LeBlanc and at least have 3 actual starting pitchers. But it seems like their run of fantastic starts, which has been about 6 games in a row now, could come to an end just because of that.
Yeah, and I think what's frustrating for, you know, and the Marlins are playing well, but I think the Nationals are a bit frustrated because obviously, and the Orioles to some extent too, with the Marlins, because the Marlins kind of put everybody in this bad position. And I know not everybody in the Marlins organization is to blame. There is a select group of people who should be blamed for it. And, you know, it is frustrating. And I'm not sure how you see it, Connor, but it's, you know, the schedule is completely in flux. And here you go today. Like you said, it's the 4th game in 3 days. No rest for the weary. And the Orioles, who did nothing wrong, are now going to play 3 games this weekend against the well-rested Nationals, who were kind of hoping for, I'm not saying they're hoping for as many games as the Orioles have, but they were hoping, you know, to play that weekend series with the Marlins, then get a day off and have their two games this week, have another day off and play the Orioles. And instead they get 2 games, one of which Scherzer gets hurt in, and then another off day. And so, you know, the scramble continues, whether it be lack of games, too many games. So both teams having to deal with repercussions from the Marlins' sins.
Yeah, and you know, I liked that they did the 7-inning doubleheader, and I think that helps. The issue with that is, you know, the Orioles yesterday or on Wednesday, they have the doubleheader. They lose 1-0 and 2-1 in both of those games. And that does save your bullpen. It saves 2 innings from your bullpen. But the thing is, you're not really cutting how much your starting pitchers are throwing in either of those games. So, you know, Alex Cobb and Asher Wojciechowski each go 5 innings. That puts them still on regular rest. You can't really bring them back earlier after 5 innings of work. Each of them threw, you know, 80-plus pitches. So that doesn't really help you with your starters. Now, the bullpen's a little more rested than they would be on a regular doubleheader, but it still sets them up for a little bit of starting pitching chaos this weekend with no off days. I mean, if you're going to do these 4 games in 3 days, it feels like it's a little bit of a better idea to schedule it when there's an off day coming up, but that's not the case here.
Yeah, I know. And it's upsetting. I mean, you know, you think about, we've seen this before. I mean, obviously the NBA had this issue in their lockout season, which feels like it wasn't that long ago, but, you know, was around, I guess, what, 9 years now ago. And they did back to back to backs. Every single team had to play three straight. And so this is, but the thing is, it's not evenly spread out. This is basically you're at the will of the teams that have coronavirus issues. And the upsetting part, once again, is the fact that this one could have been mitigated. And you're seeing with teams like the Orioles and the Nationals, they're doing a good job of you know, following protocols, doing what they should. And we all kind of knew this was going to be a reality of the season, but I think we all thought it might have come about in a more benign way or a less, I guess you could say, in a certain way that was not brought on by, you know, somebody's own devices, I guess you could say, with the Marlins. So it puts everybody in a bad spot. I think it kind of leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouths with the seven games, the seven inning doubleheaders, which we thought we were going to have, but not under these circumstances for the Orioles. So, yeah, I'm curious to see kind of how each team looks heading to this weekend, because it's been a curious start to the season for both of them. And, I mean, both of them are going to kind of coming into this thing with somewhat same records, you know, hanging around that 500 area.
Yeah, the Orioles will hopefully be 6-6 if they can get a win over the Marlins. But, you know, it's been a disaster watching them hit over the last three games. They've got one run, which came off a Baltimore chop single in the seventh inning or the sixth inning of game two of that doubleheader. But yeah, and you know, the O's haven't had any issues at all. I mean, I know the Nats lost Juan Soto for a chunk of time, but I mean, they've had a couple of injuries, but the O's really haven't had to put anybody on the IL yet. It's just, you know, things have come in waves. Great series against the Red Sox, kind of get pummeled by the Yankees, you sweep the Rays, and then you can't score against the Marlins. It'll be interesting to see how they come out against the Nats, but obviously Juan Soto's back for the Nats, so you get your number one hitter in there. But, you know, what did that offense look like minus Rendon, minus Soto at the beginning, and who stepped up to at least, you know, get them a couple wins without Juan Soto in there?
Well, the answer is nobody. Nobody wanted to step up for the first couple games. And here's the problem, right? You go from an offense that had Rendon and Soto, and you expect to have Soto, and then, oh my gosh, you don't have him. So it was bare. I mean, the thing I have to say is Trey Turner and Adam Eaton for the first part of the season were basically all the offense, and now Trey Turner's gone cold for the last few games. And, you know, that wouldn't be a big deal in a normal season, but obviously it gets more magnified with the shortened season. Eaton's been very good so far. I believe he's hit in 8 of the 9 games. Starlin Castro has been awesome so far this season. He went 0-4 last night, but he's had a good night. And here's the thing, Howie Kendrick, he's been hitting the ball hard basically every single at bat. And so you get Juan Soto back, and last night, Connor, he goes 2-for-4, and I'm sorry to tell you this, and I'm sorry to tell your listeners this, I would be mortified if I was the Orioles this weekend with how bad their offense has been and how dialed in Juan Soto looked last night. He's just one of those guys, and I've mentioned this a bunch, but he's just special, and there's not much more you can say. The guy shows up last night. We haven't seen him in a Major League Baseball game since Game 7 of the World Series. Shows up, drives in a run early in the game, and also, too, makes an incredible diving catch in left field. Juan Soto is going to show up this weekend, I feel like. And I think if the Orioles pitching isn't minding its P's and Q's against him, he could have a huge weekend. And with the way the Orioles offense has been going, you know, he could single-handedly maybe win a game or two for them. And that's not hyperbole. I honestly believe, I know I come from the Nationals perspective here, but he just does not seem to miss a beat, this young 21-year-old. He is intrepid, if you will. But, yeah, I'm expecting big things from him this weekend because the rest of the lineup – and I think as he goes, I think the rest of the Nats offense is going to kind of round out around him, especially Castro and Kendrick.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think Juan Soto can single-handedly beat this team because, listen, in the doubleheader in the two games, Brian Anderson of the Marlins single-handedly beat the O's. He had a solo home run that was the only run in a 1-0 win. And then he had an RBI single, which put the Marlins up 2-0 in a 2-1 win in game two. So the Orioles have showed with the offense they have right now that one single hitter on the other side can beat them. But obviously, Juan Soto is probably a top 10 player in baseball right now, maybe even higher. And he might be the best hitter in the game at some point.
I want to ask you something, Connor. What can the what should the Nationals faithful expect from this Orioles lineup? Because, and to be quite frank with you, you know, it's hard, obviously, when you watch, you know, from my perspective, I'm watching a lot of National League games. It's hard to catch those, you know, the Orioles, watch them play, even though they're one channel over on Masson or Masson 2. Yeah, you know, what can the Nationals fans expect from this lineup? Because I think it's a lot of names that, you know, obviously except for Severino, that the Nationals fans are not familiar with.
Yeah, so you're going to see Pedro Severino as the Orioles' top catcher. So Nats fans will know him. And they've got three catchers on the roster right now, but Severino by far the best hitting one right now, and the best defensive one right now. So he's going to be back there. At the top of the lineup, Hanser Alberto, he was hitting .426 this season after the Rays series on Sunday. But like everyone else in the lineup, he's gone cold. He's got an 0-for-11 in this Marlins series so far. So he's back to a measly .326. however, he's still hitting the ball. If, you know, Nats fans might know him from last year, he led the league in batting average against lefties. He hit .398 against left-handers last year, and really turned himself into an everyday major league player after being waived about 7 or 8 times. After that, Jose Iglesias, who I think a lot of baseball fans know just from his time with the Red Sox and then the Tigers. He right now has never been a great hitter, but he is hitting about .450 on the season, and is the Orioles' number three hitter, and was hitting over .500 until last night's game. So he's kind of been the RBI guy so far. And then besides that, you've got Renato Nunez, who I think had the most surprising 30-homer season of all time last year. And then Anthony Santander, who's been a pretty good switch-hitting outfielder for the Orioles. Now, that top four can win games from time to time. I think Nats fans are going to be surprised at just how bad the bottom of the Orioles lineup really is. They're missing a couple of bats. Rio Ruiz, who would really be usually a solid 5-6 hitter at third base, has a little bit of a shoulder issue. It's kind of questionable how much he's going to play this weekend. So behind that, I mean, you know, Chris Davis, he's got one hit on the season. They're playing guys like Andrew Velasquez, who has one hit, and Cedric Mullins, who has one hit on the season. Pat Valleca, I don't know if fans will remember him from the Colorado Rockies, but it's pretty barren at the bottom for the O's, and that's been the big issue, because in game two of the doubleheader against the Marlins, each of the top four in the lineup got a hit at some point to lead off an inning and turned it over to the rest of that lineup. And it was just kind of miserable to watch.
Yeah, and this is what I'd say going into the series, just from a, you know, not a prediction game by game standpoint, but what I would say is, you know, the National, there might be some periods of some pretty poor offense, because the Nationals have exhibited some of that too, not hitting well with runners in scoring position. They've done a bit better as of late, but you know, I think when I look at these two teams meeting up, I think the Nationals, they just have more guys that can get the job done in situation. You know, they have better situational hitting. You know, we've even seen Eric Thames has shot the ball twice to left field for singles this season. Not something that we're accustomed to seeing, but he has done so. And you think about guys like Suzuki and Thames, Estrubel Cabrera to some extent, Adam Eaton's been hitting well. They just have more more professional, proven hitters in this lineup, and I think in games that might be a drag, could be potentially a drag to watch offensively, I think I would take the Nationals kind of situational hitting, and I probably see the Nationals taking 2 of 3 here in this series at worst. And this is not meant to demean the Orioles, Connor. I just think this is a situation where the Nationals are trying to find some mojo. They get Juan Soto back. They kind of see a wounded animal in front of them in terms of the Orioles, and I think this is where a team like the Nationals, with that proven track record, can take advantage of a team that's not used to being in the winner's circle and still very young with the Orioles.
Yeah, you got the defending champs versus the team that had the number two pick this year. So I would probably take the Nationals 2 out of 3. My parting gift to Nats fans here, You guys know Tommy Malone. He came up with the Nats almost 10 years ago. You're really not going to recognize this Tommy Malone. He's kind of revamped what he throws and how often he throws it. So if he's, you know, cruising along through three or four innings, don't be surprised that, you know, a veteran lefty who, you know, throws 85 is getting you guys out, because he's basically a completely different pitcher for when he came up. And then the other thing, the Orioles bullpen right now, it's basically a bunch of parts that shouldn't work, but somehow they're all, you know, with a bunch of glue and duct tape are holding it together pretty well. I could see this being the series with a guy like Soto in there, where they kind of, they break through that bullpen that's been so good so far. But we will see in the Beltway battle is always fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's always fun to see these two teams meet. Obviously, I think it's a bit more, it's always a festive atmosphere when these two teams meet. And, you know, as somebody who's been to a couple Nationals Orioles games, they're both really good baseball towns. And Baltimore is an underrated sports city. It's great fans. It's upsetting these two teams can't meet, because culturally they're kind of, they kind of come from the same place, just kind of in this East Coast environment. So I always like it when these two teams meet. I always like the Beltway. You know, the Beltway battles are always fun. And I would agree with you also too. One thing to watch, if you have not seen it, shockingly, the Washington Nationals bullpen is very good. And it's not the names that were actually the good pitchers last year. Daniel Hudson's still been fine, but Sean Doolittle has not been good so far this year. Will Harris was not good in a small sample size, but he's gone to the injured list as well too. So it's guys like Sam Freeman and Javi Guerra who have been really good so far for the Nationals, and I think you're going to see some of them. So both teams, surprisingly good bullpens, and I think that's something to watch this weekend, where obviously, you know, at least from a Nationals perspective, pitching situations could be in flux as far as the starters go.
Yeah, the talent on these two rosters are pretty different, but the Orioles did take 2 of 4 from the champs last year and play well against this team, even when one of them hasn't been too good. But Josh Neighbors, thank you. Orioles and Nats 3-game series Friday. 3.